talking about it.
Is that gone?
On you.
On me?
Okay, Red. Lord, bless Adam. Bless him. He's filled with your spirit. Speak through him, Lord.
No. He's not sure.
He's going to wait for you.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Glory to God. I just want to say Jesus is the King. Thanks, you guys, for being here with me to be able to, to hear my testimony and to kind of understand what it is I went through, how I ended up here. Greg, I met in rehab at the 700 Club. And last year, he tried to get me to come to the retreat, but I hadn't known Jesus yet at that point. A little bit about my story. I was an alcoholic addict. I call myself somebody who was just struggling with a lot of bondages. Today, I don't look at myself as an addict or an alcoholic. That's just my own personal view on it. I feel that Satan had a big grip on me. I ended up on the streets using needles. I was pretty out there. I pretty much did anything you could possibly imagine to get more dope. That's my story, you know what I mean? It wasn't pretty. I started about 18. I started using drugs and drinking pretty heavily. It kind of ran in the family, you know, that sinful nature ran in our family. And anyway, I ended up right in my father's footsteps. And started off just drinking, and I was drinking to the point where I couldn't go to sleep unless I had at least a 40 ounce in me, and that was. And then what I would do is I would be promiscuous with females, and I was scared for my life. So I came to my mom. She was sober at the time in AA, and she kind of guided me to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's where I ended up. After a lot of drinking, about a year and a half of real heavy drinking, and. So I got sober for 3 years, and I stayed sober, and I was pretty happy about it. I was in the rooms of AA, and I never worked the steps, but I did pray to God. I didn't have a title for God at that time, but eventually what happened is I became more and more spiritually sick. I went back out, started using again. Then my drug choice was cocaine. For about a year and a half, I used really heavily on cocaine, about 4 or 5 nights a week. Some days I'd do it 2 or 3 nights in a row. I worked in a dialysis clinic, and I was sticking people with needles, and I would do cocaine off the toilet, go into the dialysis clinic, and work on these patients. And that's basically how far I was going in that direction. Finally, I got sober again, crying out for God this whole time. I was in a band. I used to make shirts that said, God save us. I was praying, writing letters to God, but I had no title for my God. I just was hoping God would have came into my life. But I can tell you today at this point that I know that I never accepted Jesus, so that's kind of where I was. But I ended up relapsing again, and then that last time out, I ended up going to the needle, and I was using heroin and crystal meth, and it got really bad. I lost everything. I lost the apartment. I sold everything. I did, like I said, everything you could possibly imagine in the way of getting more and more drugs. I met Greg at the 700 Club. That's where I ended up. I was always interested in his stories because I was hearing about the miraculous and the anointing and all the different things that are going on in the Christian community, but I never gave myself a fair shot with Jesus. And so I thought about it. I said the sinner's prayer with him, but nothing took hold, and I ended up going out onto my own again from rehab, and I started dabbling again. Because don't you know, that was kind of my medicine for me. It was a way to help curb whatever sickness I was feeling spiritually inside. So what did it for me was crying out to God for over 10 years. I'm 30 now. I'll be 31 here shortly. From age 20 to 30, I spent struggling with the God concept, drugs, alcohol, all these different bondages. And I knew I could have gave Christianity a try, but I never did. So anyway, one night I'm at my mom's house, and me and my uncle, my mom, she lives in a housing project for homeless people. There's lots of drugs and alcohol that go on there, and me and my family members decided to get high together on crack cocaine, me and my mother and my uncle. And so when I did that with my mom, I was really scared for her. She's been smoking for a lot of years and really caught up in a lot of those same behaviors. That's kind of what did it for me. I called Greg. He said another prayer for me. I went home. 5 days later, I knew Jesus came into my heart. I just felt it. I knew it. I finally said, I got to a point where I was like, okay, I'll try Jesus. I'll try this thing. And then like a flash of lightning hit me. Like, I knew it. I knew it was God. I knew it was Jesus. I haven't been the same in 6 months. My whole life has turned around. I've quit smoking effortlessly. I wouldn't say completely effortlessly, but a lot more than it ever was before. My mom has been saved. My whole family is starting to turn around and come into the church, all because I put my hands up and I said, okay, fine, Jesus, I'll give it a shot, you know. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for Christians in my life now. That's all I want to hang out with. That's all I want to do. I want to praise and worship all the time. I know God is good. You know, I'm a little tired, so my mind's not totally clear right now. But I just want to thank you guys for listening. Yeah, that's all I got.
Oh, man.
Thank you. Great.
That was awesome.
You know what, guys? You watch him. Watch that young man over many years here, because he's got a huge ministry ahead of him. He is he's a musician. He's the lead singer of his own band. And I think God's just had him lay that up and lay it away and get rid of it. But God's going to give it back to him someday. And I can see him touching millions of people. I really can see it. He's the best one of the best pupils I've ever had as far as a disciple. And, you know, I say something and he's out there doing it the next day. And he puts me to shame because him and his buddies go out and witness in the parks and stuff. And, you know, I'm thinking, I should be out there. No, I'm going to watch TV. But, you know, all you got to do is touch 12 guys in your life like that. That's all you got to do. And then they can win the world, because each one of them will go get 12. I mean, that was the template. That's what Jesus did.
Exactly.
Well, Father, just anoint Ray and bless him. And Father, speak through him as your oracle in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead.
I'm not shooting from the cuff like Eric. I got a prepared devotions here. I had this devotion prepared. I did it in March at my Men of Valor meeting. Now, my Men of Valor is a ministry I started at the church I go to. And like Greg says, you start with few. I got up to 12 or 13 men. I think now we got 16 to 20. And how many are here tonight? Three? Four. Four guys are here. So I'm trying to get as many as I can to come, but that's up to God. what I'm going to talk about tonight is honor, respect, and wisdom. And it also ties into sowing and reaping. I've just learned to love this pastor, this evangelist. His name is Michael Murdoch, and he talks about wisdom. The name of his ministry is the Wisdom Center. And some of the stuff I'm going to tell you comes from him. And it's just awesome what he has to say. So when I say something to you, it's got a lot of meat in it. Write it down so you can remember it. Man's destiny in God is determined by who he is chosen to honor, and wisdom is the ability to recognize the difference, and honor is the willingness to reward the difference. We talk about honor and respect. Okay. Man's destiny in God is determined by who he is chosen to honor. Wisdom is the ability to recognize the difference, and honor is the willingness to reward difference, or the difference. I've always loved honor and courage, and you know, the military and the Marine Corps. I was in the Army, but I love that, the whole military concept of honor. And I'm a Western fan. I love the Old West, and I think the code of the West is honor and respect. I know Greg likes the medieval stuff. But traits of honor, respect, and wisdom should be evident in every man's life and every Christian's life. Proverbs 4:7-9. Turn with me to that. Proverbs 4 says, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, which is wisdom, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor, and when thou dost embrace her, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to you. The King James says, to thee. And how do we retain this wisdom? We retain this wisdom by studying God's Word. The wisdom is God's Word. We need to keep it in our hearts. We need to keep His commandments, and that is the ultimate wisdom. There are seven keys that I'm going to talk about right now. Seven keys of wisdom. And these are what I said take notes on. Number one, rewards in life are determined by the problems you solve for others. You know, if you solve a problem, you create favor, and then favor equals supply. I looked in the dictionary looked up favor, favorable, favored, and favorite. And here's some of the definitions of it. Favor is God's good graces. Favorable is the promise of success. Favored means gifts. And favorite is one who is trusted and loved by a person of higher rank, which would be God, or if your wife, your husband, or father, or a business associate. When you solve a problem for somebody, you create a memory. And you know, God does remember. He does remember what we've done. And if you solve that problem cheerfully, you can always expect God's divine intervention. He always will come through and help. Number two, Satan will always attack those in line for promotion. I looked up promotion too, and it means raised in position of a job or rank in the U.S. military. It's to move forward or advance in a station of life, move up in rank with honor. It means to promote, and it means to contribute to the growth of prosperity, and launch an enterprise, and get possession of by ingenuity. That is something for businessmen. But you know what? Satan always comes after you when you get promotions. And when you say promotions, it can be anything. If you get a start in life, if you start over, you know, Satan will always come after you. And Christians are so willy-nilly, you know, they think, oh man, Satan's coming after me, what a wall, you know. And Mike Murdoch says, he's not a wall, he's a gate. We just go right through the gate, go right through him by the shed blood of Jesus. And ultimately, when you go through the gate, you have victory. Number three is what you're willing to walk away from. And this one's good, I really like this one. What you are willing to walk away from determines what God will bring to you. Isn't that awesome? That is just an awesome bit of wisdom. What you are willing to walk away from determines what God will bring to you. Ephesians 6:8. Look up Ephesians 6:8. And this will lead into the next one, number four. Knowing that whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bound or free. And number four, what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. It's a promise there in Ephesians 6, verse 8.
Sorry, can I repeat that, please?
Which one? The
four
is what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. Number five is seasons of your life will change every time you use faith. I like that because I just turned 59 and I think I've used more faith this past year than I've ever used in 58 years. And it's an awesome thing to use faith. And You know, one of my favorite biblical characters is Caleb, and how much faith he used. I like to say, the Bible says that Caleb took the, God gave him his mountain when he was 80 years old. And it says his eye was not dim, or his strength abated. He had the strength of a 40-year-old. And that's, God will do. The seasons of your life will change every time you use faith. Faith always attracts divine favor. Divine favor is sowing and reaping. What a man sows in his life, he's going to reap. Luke 6:36. Look at that real quick.
Seasons
of your life. I'm just still dwelling on five.
Okay.
Luke 6, verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is also merciful to you. That talks to us about our seasons in our life and having faith and how we deal with other people. It's what you respect. You know, what you respect, you will attract. If you respect fighting, you're always going to be fighting, you know. There's a lot of people who respect fighting. They say, oh man, that's the coolest thing. They love, the newest thing is this cage fighting. Oh, the people go crazy over that cage fighting. I'm not saying, I guess it's all right, but, you know, it depends on how, what you, you know, if you just think that's the greatest thing and then you forget about God, you do have a problem. You know, so respect is magnetic. If something's missing in your life, it's something that you don't value. You know. Last one, number 7. Faith is sowing. I said it was about sowing and reaping, and that's what it is. And this is a good one. What you have been given to create is what you've been promised. That is something. And I got here, faith overrules fact. I have on this bracelet I wear for Sam. Dave DeWell, evangelist Dave DeWell, called Greg and he says, hey, faith overrules fact. It doesn't matter that they said Sam's going to never regain consciousness. Well, first Sam's going to die, never going to regain consciousness. Now he's coming around. This faith always overrules fact. It's a miracle. Faith is sowing. What you've been given to create is what you've been promised. And it's faith. Oh, I didn't say 6. Sorry. What you respect, you will attract. I said it, but I just didn't say this is number 6.
Right. That's like saying, you know, it says somewhere where your heart is. So that's what you know. Where your treasure is.
Where's your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Yeah.
Same thing, right?
Yeah. What your heart is. Yeah. So, guys, what I want to tell you, I know there's guys here who aren't working, and I know there's guys here who are down and out. If you need a miracle, plant a seed. This is awesome. Our church just went through a capital campaign to remodel our aging 55-year-old restrooms, bring them up to handicap standards, and to give the ladies of the church have waited 50 years for a brand new kitchen. And we're going to raise it, and we're getting ready to start construction. And we raised $450,000 in about, I don't know, David, how long did it take? Two months?
Yeah, about 2 months.
2 months of pledges.
A church full of blue-collar people without one wealthy person.
Yeah.
I think that not one would qualify as a wealthy person.
There's nobody wealthy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so, you know what? They planted seeds, and Zion's going to do it. They're going to get blessed. They're going to get blessed by planting those seeds. But what you got to do when you plant a seed... Dave, do you care if I tell them what happened to you?
No.
David was on the capital campaign to raise funds, and he worked real close to the guy who came out, and this guy has raised millions, billions. How much has he raised?
$3.5
billion. And he's done how many projects? 30?
1,300.
1,300. He's raised money, and Dave worked closely with him, and he did a program that we started in November and ended in March, and Dave got promoted to, he asked Dave to be his chief executive officer for it, and I said, Dave, you need to come to this retreat, you need to get here. And he believes it too, so we need the blessing for it.
Well, I believe I need to be here because when you said about the thing about the promotion and the devil is more likely to attack you, I've been under major assaults with everything I've tried to accomplish. And I knew that I needed to be here. So when you called me, I was there. I walked to get here.
You know, when you give your offering, you need to give it with expectations. You need to wrap it up with expectations. You need to give. And it doesn't matter what it is. It can be a dollar. We're going to take an offering here because of the deficit. Even if you put 25 cents in, just wrap it with expectations. You know, because the Bible says, what a man sows, he will reap. And that means, I think that scripture happens to mean talking about sin, but it can also talk about our giving. You know, if you need health, sow a seed for health. If you need guidance, sow it for health. Sow it for guidance. If you need spiritual decisions, sow it. If you need reconciliation, restoration. My daughter needs reconciliation in her marriage right now, and I'm standing, you know, I'm giving with the expectation that she's going to get her marriage is going to get restored. We're in a sour economy. You know, our economy's down in the toilet. And a lot of you guys are, I know guys who came from Zion, a couple of you don't have jobs. If you need financial help, this is a drought. You know, sow something in this drought. And if you sow, you're going to flourish. And flourish means a profusion of growth. That little seed you plant is going to be a profusion of growth. Last but not least, turn to Isaiah 58. And this is awesome. Isaiah 58 speaks of four guaranteed promises from God. Start with verse 8. And I don't know if it probably sounds better. I like the King James, but it might sound better in a more modern version. It might grab it better, but I'm going to read it from the King James. Starting with verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. That's a promise from God. First, the light of Jesus is going to shine in your life, and you're going to be healthy. You're going to walk in divine health. Number 9, the second one. Thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of the... You don't need that second part of the verse. It's the first part is when God calls, you can be sure he's going to answer. That's one of his promises. And third one, if you draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, this is the down and out, the homeless people, the people who are hungry, if you help them out, then shall the light of Jesus, arise in obscurity, and thy darkness will be as the noonday. It means the light of Jesus is going to shine brightly in your life. And promise number 4, God will guide you and satisfy your soul in drought. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Isn't that awesome? That's just an awesome. I just love that. And like I said, our recession that we've been in, this sour economy, is our drought. But wouldn't it be neat to be like a watered garden just to be like a spring, a fresh spring. We're drinking that bottled water back there that's supposedly from a fresh spring. How good it tastes, and it's so good and refreshing. That's the way God is. God will not fail us. So what I've said here is I hope you choose to believe and trust God and begin to speak the words over Him, the words of God. Speak the word, which is Jesus. Just begin to speak it over your life. And as Dave DeWell says, it's only forever. That's an awesome thing too. It's only forever. So let's reap and sow, because we know what's on the other side. Thanks, you.
Thank you.